The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Wait a minute. Do you still think politics is boring? Well, not when you can say fun words like caucus. Yes, it's fun words like caucus and more. With the intellectual, intersexual, and intersectional, Nicole Sandler on NicoleSandler.com.
Jack Smith got my footage, it's in black and white, with moving boxes and taking a flight. So now I find myself in a nostalgic rage about how I lost a top secret page. I wish I had my classified doc stash, the Mar-a-Lago kind. Boxes chock full of manila folders that were marked top secret with red underline. I remember talking to CNN, showing Iran war plans to the network anchorman. Oh, I wish I had my classified doc stash, just the way that it used to be. Then it's Jack Smith forthwith coming up fast, charging me with numerous crimes. And my man De Oliveira said he lived in terror. He said another lawyer might be a little fairer, yeah. I wish I had my classified doc stash, just the way that it used to be. Top secret doc stash. Then it's flip-flop, call the cops, FBI raid. Rubbing through Melania's room.
Follow the man.
The FBI vigilantes tried inspecting all her panties, but she told me it was better than my tiny hands. Ow! My wife just abhors how they went through her drawers. There were no secret files in her lingerie piles. Those are things I'm no longer allowed to explore. That's what Melania said to me. I wish I had my classified doc stash, the Mar-a-Lago kind. Boxes chock full of manila folders that were marked top secret with red underline. Oh, I'd wave them around for everyone to see. Maybe Jared could sell some to the Sheikh of Araby. If I only had a classified doc stash, then I could do some schmoozing too. Yeah, orange cream, a little dabble to ya, I can do some schmoozing too.
Oh yeah, that is Patrick Fitzgerald, this guy that I didn't discover him, obviously. He's been making these song parodies, doing it on the Twitter. That is a parody of Jimmy Buffett's Pencil Thin Mustache. For those of you going, God, this song sounds familiar. Why can't I place it? Jimmy Buffett. And I'm because Patrick Fitzgerald just put that out yesterday. So probably in reference to the late Jimmy Buffett, but it's just really good. This guy's got a bunch of them up there. So, you know me. You know I'm going to be featuring them. Welcome to a Thursday. It is our final Thursday for a few weeks. Well, Thursday with Howie Klein for a few weeks, because after tomorrow, I'm 100% in moving mode. Now, who's calling me? Okay. Oh, somebody's who should know better, who should know that I'm on the air now, was calling me. So here's the deal. We are packing. Tomorrow, the pods container arrives. Wait, I think that calls for, let me do that again. Tomorrow, the pods container arrives. Yeah, I'm a little nervous. We're about halfway packed. We're getting there. At first, I thought we were going to leave. You know, we'd spend the weekend packing. We'd get on the road Monday. Then we pushed it to Tuesday. Now we're looking at maybe Wednesday. It's, you know, we'll get there. We're going. Believe me, I can't wait to get the hell out of here, because this state goes from bad to worse. Did you hear what our resident genius brain surgeon general did? For those of you who don't know, if you're new here, hi, welcome. I'm in Florida. I'm leaving. We are going. We're moving to Arizona. Finally, getting the hell out of here. Because as I say, they didn't elect the fascists there. I know that Arizona is far from perfect, but it's better than here right now. And yes, it's hot, but you know, it's a dry heat. The thing about Florida is you walk outside and you get hit with a wall of humidity. You can sometimes, it's so thick sometimes, you feel like you could cut it with a knife. I remember after moving out west and living in Los Angeles for, how many years? 15 years living in LA. When I would come back here to visit, I'd see my dad, and I'd get off the plane. It's like, oh boy, there it is. And not only did it hit, it's like, oh, you could just, it's so thick, but then my hair would frizz out. So I'm very excited to get back to low humidity. My friend Sue, who lives in Tucson, said, well, you know, it's been pretty humid out here, too. And I'm like, what, like 20% humidity, 30%? She said, yeah. I said, here it's like 98, 99% when it's not raining. Go figure. Anyway, so that's all going on. It is crazy times right here. So the Surgeon General of the state of Florida, I mentioned him the other day. When I was talking to Jim DeFede, who is like the best political reporter here in the state of Florida. And I mentioned Dr. Joseph Latipo, or as we call him, Lapdog, because he is Ronnie Boy's lapdog. But, you know, the FDA just approved this new COVID vaccine because, in case you hadn't heard, COVID is surging again. I'm not saying COVID is back because it never went away, but it is surging again. And what's surging is this new variant that they say is resistant to the previous vaccines. You know, we'd been told that the last one, the bivalent vaccine, was good for a number of these variants. Yeah, but not this new one. And don't even ask me what it's called. I don't even know. But there's a new vaccine out to address this new variant. And of course, I'm going to get it. The question is, do I get it before I leave? Because I always get a little bit of a reaction to these vaccines. I expect it. I know that not only is my arm going to hurt for a couple of days, I'm going to feel like shit for about 36 to 48 hours. And I accept that. And I figure it's better to feel this way for 36 to 48 hours than to get COVID. One, risk my life because I'm missing a lung. Hello. Thank you, lung cancer. Two, you know, I'm still 63. Oh, and that opens up another whole can of worms here because, I still have a year and 2 months before I am eligible for Medicare, which, let me tell you, that really sucks. So, you know, I'm fighting with myself over, do I get the vaccine before we leave? Or, do I wait till we get out there? You see, the federal government is not covering the cost of this new vaccine. If you have insurance or you're on Medicare, well, then it will likely be free to you. But if you don't have insurance, you're going to have to pay. Thanks so much, Republicans, because, you know, it's them. So right now I still have insurance. Once I get out there, I won't, because my insurance is through the exchange. I have Florida blah, and Florida blah doesn't work in Arizona. So I'm going to have to. So I went on the exchange last night. So here's how it works. You know, the healthcare, the healthcare.gov, or your state exchange, if you're in a civilized state where they actually had an exchange, that will open on November 1st for you to get insurance for 2024. Well, but if you have a life change, like you're moving across country, you can update it. So I went on to the exchange. I used my bonus son's address, because we don't know where we're going to be living yet. David's son is out there. And I went looking for a decent insurance plan. I got to tell you, I am at the worst age possible. So now I'm 63. I'll be 64 on November 4th. You can put it in your calendar just so you can remember. So I'll be 64 on November 4th. And I wonder, will you still need me? Will you still feed me? Sorry, I couldn't help myself. Anyway, I went perusing the available health insurance plans, and they suck. What's available to someone? And it changes based on your age and obviously your income. And, you know, this is the only time I'll ever say, thank God I don't make jack shit, because I really need my listeners to be more generous. You guys, I love you. I love you dearly. But there are a small percentage of you who are carrying the water for the rest of you. Let me just say that. I still won't put the show behind a paywall, but it's just a small number of you who are, you know, picking up the freight here. And frankly, it's not enough. That's why I'm always kind of keeping my eye out for other ways to make money. So if, you know, if you want to help us with the move, we could use it. Go to NicoleSandler.com, click on one of those donate buttons, and I will be forever in your debt. But that's besides the point. So what I'm realizing is it'll cost me more out there than here to get a basic health insurance plan. And for less coverage. Every one of these plans, even with the subsidy that I get from the federal government, I do qualify for a subsidy because, again, I don't make very much money these days. It's still unaffordable. And on top of it being the monthly premium being unaffordable, there's like a $9,000, $8,000 to $9,000 on many of these deductible. Lovely, right? And or 50% copay after you pay hundreds of dollars a month on a premium. If you go into the hospital, one of them, it was like a $2,500 a day copay. I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. And then another one was whatever it is. And then you have a 40% co-insurance on everything from x-rays to prescription drugs to hospital stays to doctor's office, all that stuff. If you've ever had to stay overnight in the hospital, you know how expensive that gets. 40% of a zillion dollars is still like $1 trillion. So I don't know. And all I can do is count down until November 4th, 2025, when I will be 65 and I can get on Medicare. The other thing is, I was so excited. We're moving out to the Phoenix area where there is a Mayo Clinic. You may have heard me say on one of our editions of the Mal Ladies that I don't sleep at night. And I'll tell you, with this impending move, I'm sleeping even less because my mind just doesn't stop. So I'm sleeping like 3 hours a night if I'm lucky. So I apologize for my spaciness, because I'm not all here anymore. So and I lost my train of thought. Anyway, so I'm going through all of these things. Oh, and so I was looking forward to being able to go to the Mayo Clinic. I even went so far as to call them and say, look, I'm moving out there. I'm going to need to get new insurance. I want to come to your sleep program. What insurance companies do you take? And they said they directed me to a place that has a list. The problem is, none of the insurance policies offered at healthcare.gov on the exchange for the Affordable Care Act, none of them does Mayo Clinic accept. So it's like, I'm damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't. Yeah. So yeah, there we go. That's the dilemma that I'm facing now. So I don't know what to do. Old Sage Joe says the insurance companies negotiate discounts when you pay 40%. Yeah, the insurance company probably pays less than you do to the provider. Absolutely. You pay 40% of the entire cost. They pay, 40% of their contracted rate. It's all such a scam. It's why I call it government sanctioned extortion. I have for years. So just so you know, I've been working diligently. I worked really hard today and got about halfway through editing together the shows that are going to run for the next 3 weeks while I'm on the road. So a little bit of a change from what I told you yesterday. The show I was going to play a week from today, which was going to be one time when I guest hosted the Tom Hartman show, and Tom was my guest. And then Jesse Jackson called in. It was surreal. actually. But the quality on it was so bad. It was like a, it was a podcast audio saved at a very low bit rate. And so it's just, I couldn't put it on the air. It's just, it was not audible good enough. So I'm changing that one. So next Thursday, you're going to hear Kinsey Six again. That whole show, it was from March 13th of this year. That is the most recent program so far that I'm going to play during these next 3 weeks when I'm moving. But there's some really good stuff. Now, here's the dilemma, and I'm talking to you guys, the YouTubers especially. Progressive Voices, you're going to hear the show as usual. It's going to be just all uploaded to the Progressive Voices servers. So the scheduled episodes should air each day at their scheduled time. Knocking on wood laminate here. I'm doing my part. That's all I can tell you. But for you YouTubers, I'm trying to make it so that I can keep the chat room open. And in order to do that, I'll put up shows. They'll be audio only, but maybe with a logo or a picture or something on the video. And I'll schedule them as premieres. So you can come, it'll say it's a premiere, and you'll be able to chat in the chat room. The problem comes on a few of these days. I've had a few requests for some of my old music radio music interviews. So, for example, a week from tomorrow, which will be it's the 22nd, it'll end the first week of recorded shows. I'm going to play. It's a really good show. It's a two-parter. You know, and the first half is an interview from 2010. Now, back in 2010, I had heard, I think I saw a 60 Minutes report on this organization called MAPS. And damn it, I keep forgetting to write out what the acronym is. But they do, it's a psychiatric group, and they have been researching for many years, more than we are aware of, the effects of psychedelic drugs on people with mental health issues. And in this case, it was soldiers returning from war with PTSD and the effect that psychedelics, MDMA and others, had on them. So back in June of 2010, I interviewed somebody from MAPS about that. This, I'm not new to this. You know, I didn't just jump on the latest craze bandwagon when I started getting the ketamine therapy. It's something that I've been reading about and thinking about for at least a decade. So we'll hear that and see how far we've come in 13 years. And then I realized that this week, next week, actually, the 18th, Monday, is the 28th anniversary. God, do I feel old. The 28th anniversary of my interview with Alanis Morissette. Now, her album, Jagged Little Pill, had come out just a couple of months before. And I was a huge, I got to see an early show of hers before the record came out and get an advanced copy. And I knew that there was something there. And I would go on the air and rave about it. When I saw her live, I'm like, this girl is the real deal. She's great. And so because I was an early supporter, when the record took off and just went, you know, viral, to use this millennial term, the record label remembered me and arranged so that I could interview her. And we did we sat down for a half hour. We went through a bunch of different songs on the album. I'll pat myself on the back. It was a really good interview. And now that we look back 28 years later, that record sold more than 33 million copies. She, at the time, I think she was 19, was the youngest person to ever win the Grammy for Album of the Year. So it was a big deal. So anyway, I'm going to share that to end the week next week. But I can't play that on the YouTubes. So maybe I'll have it so that the first half of the show, you'll hear the audio. If I have time, and I'll tell you right now, I don't have a lot of time. I'll try to bring down the volume when the music is playing. I don't know what else to do. So YouTubers, you're going to have to be a little bit resourceful, but I hope you'll come back, because honestly, I'm putting a lot of work into these shows, and I do want you to hear them. So we've got the Alanis Morissette thing the following week, and I bring this up because of what I was just talking about. On Monday the 25th, is going to be an hour that I did with Wendell Potter almost 2 years ago. It was when the exchanges opened, or when Medicare enrollment started in 2021. Wendell Potter, you may remember, is still to this date the only insurance industry whistleblower. He, he worked for Cigna. He was their head PR guy, and worked for not only Cigna, but the entire health insurance industry. And when Michael Moore's movie Sicko came out, it was up to Wendell Potter to devise the Oppo research and to smear Michael Moore and the people featured in the movie. Long story short, you know the story, but you'll hear a little bit of it again a week from Monday when I play this Wendell Potter interview. But the reason I'm bringing him on is because, again, open enrollment is right around the corner. If you're on Medicare, I want to warn you that Medicare Advantage is neither Medicare nor is it an advantage. It's a scam. It's like the same shitty HMO kind of policy I can get as a poor person under the Affordable Care Act. And so Wendell Potter that day came on to really spill the beans and tell you all you need to know about Medicare Advantage and Medicare. And then, you know, buying insurance through the exchange if you're like me, too young for Medicare still, but want to navigate the exchanges. So that we're going to run on Monday, October 25th. So put that in your calendar, especially if, you know, you have health insurance needs. You need to get educated on it. You need to let everybody know that Medicare Advantage is not Medicare. And it is not an advantage. It may be fine as long as you're healthy, but the minute you get sick, the big difference is these for-profit private insurance companies have the right, have the decision of life and death over you. They can deny you coverage. They can deny you services where Medicare does not. I mean, Howie's coming on in a few minutes. And, you know, we went through it with him. And thank goodness that he had Medicare, real Medicare, and not Medicare Advantage, because Medicare Advantage never would have paid for the experimental treatments that Howie got for this very rare, weird form of cancer he had. Well, now Howie is cancer-free, I think, it's 8 years. I'm cancer-free 7 years. But if you have Medicare, yes, disadvantage, Rick Smith in the chat room, you will not get it. And yeah, 64 sucks because they jack you for as much as they can. They pay for as little as they can. They charge you as much as they can because it's the last year that they can, you know, rape you for as much as they can get out of you. And while they try to entice you into Medicare Advantage by saying, we'll give you free gym memberships, and we'll give you a ride to the doctor, and we'll give you all this nonsense, but they'll deny you treatment when you're sick. It's just horrible. So we've got that coming up, and then we'll round out the week with Jen Senko, who did the putting a spotlight on right-wing media and what it's doing to our seniors. We'll hear from Ali Velshi, we'll hear from Lawrence O'Donnell, and we're going to end that second week with Dr. Helen Caldicott, an interview I did with her years ago after the Fukushima nuclear disaster. Helen Caldicott is an Australian pediatrician who decided to make the whole world her waiting room, and she's been fighting for 40, 50 years against nukes. So we got that. And then the third week, by request, somebody in the chat room, in fact, asked if I have any Tom Petty interviews. Actually, I do. I got to interview Tom Petty in the studio in Los Angeles many years ago. And so I'm going to play that on October 2nd. Why? It's the anniversary of the day he died a couple of years ago. So we got that. I got all kinds of other stuff. So anyway, I've been busy editing, but I want you, especially you YouTubers who hang out in the chat room, to know where possible, I will, you know, post these videos to be premieres. There will be times when the video will be up there and there will be no audio. That's going to be when music is playing. But you can always hear the show through Progressive Voices. And I'm telling you that instead of my streams, because my streams will likely be down because my whole studio is going to be torn apart. After tomorrow, I'm tearing the studio down to move everything to Arizona. So if you usually listen to my stream at NicoleSandler.com or the NicoleSandlerStream.com, that's going to be out of commission for about 3 weeks. So be sure to listen to ProgressiveVoices.com and you'll be able to hear the show live. And if you're hanging in the YouTube chat room, you can hear the music playing when you're not going to be able to hear it there. Okay? Boy, I used up like the whole first half hour just to do housekeeping. Actually, I thought we were going to do that tomorrow. I have no idea what we're doing tomorrow. I'm so scattered. I don't know which end is up anymore. So, all right. So coming up again, it's Thursday. So Howie Klein will be here. He knows that he'll be off for the next 3 weeks, probably. What town in Arizona, Hernan's asking? I don't know yet. So here's what we're doing. We have an Airbnb reserved. We are driving out there. As I told you yesterday, we are going to go the speed limit because driving through northern Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, New Mexico, I don't want to get pulled over because those are parts of the country that I don't think like me very much. And yes, we are taking the Bernie Sanders Medicare for All sticker off the car. To the people who wrote me suggesting I put an NRA sticker or a Trump sticker on the car, that's not going to happen. That will not happen. But I will take the Bernie Sanders Medicare for All sticker. It's actually not even a sticker. It's a magnet because, you know, Bernie. So anyway, so we're renting an Airbnb for, I've got it for like 2 weeks, but I can cancel early. Once we find a house to rent, it'll be either in Tempe, Ahwatukee, Gilbert, Chandler, somewhere in that area, the West Valley or the East Valley. I don't know. I've been to Arizona twice. So it'll be a little culture shock. Diane saying, can we watch you pack? You don't want to watch me pack. I already showed you my office yesterday. It's a mess. It's a mess. And yeah, the pod. So someone asked how the pod things work. They deliver this, you know, the unit to your house and you load it. And then when you're ready to go, they come and pick it up and they drive it out there and they store it for you as long as you need. And when you know where you're going and you're ready, you call them and say, okay, deliver it to this address. So that's what we're doing. Nevitz Forever says, don't put a magnet on your car. Put a maggot on your car. No, please, no. Kim said, I had a great house in Ahwatukee. Okay, I can move in. What? No, not the Oakwood Apartments. No, we're not doing that. Pods are expensive. Moving across country is expensive. We were going to have two pods. We canceled the second one. And we're going to fit in whatever we can fit in and go. Because, you know, money is tight. All right. Let's wait no longer. I know I'm a minute early. Hopefully Howie is ready for our call. I don't know whose turn it is this week to mix up those Dirty Debbies, but my God, I could use a triple today. Really? Seriously. So bring it, baby.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picked up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTierney.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Yo, Howie Klein.
Hi, Nicole.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, good. I wanted to bring you on first so that you can introduce our special guest today who is standing by on the Zoom, but I thought I'd let you introduce her.
Great, well, thank you. So I'm going to introduce you to Maybe a Girl, who is I think, the perfect Blue America candidate. We have a lot of candidates. I love them all. And Maybe is, what I would call a super progressive. So not just a progressive, but the real thing and all the way and always will be. And when we'll vouch for that. She's not going to turn into, some conservative when she gets to Congress.
Like some others have.
As some others have, yes. So Maybe is running for the open seat in Los Angeles that I happen to live in, Adam Schiff's old seat. Adam is leaving the House. He's running for the U.S. Senate. Maybe ran against him before, and in fact, the last time she ran, she got 60,000 votes.
Wow.
If she were to get 60,000 votes or even a good fraction of that 60,000 votes this time, she will be going to Congress. So I don't think there's much more I have to say. I think the audience would rather hear from Maybe herself.
Okay. Well, Maybe is here. Maybe, it's so nice to meet you. You're so prompt. Maybe logged into Zoom like just right before the show started, and I already had a signal going out, so I couldn't even talk to you. So I wrote in the chat, Howie comes on at the bottom of the hour, so you're welcome to stay and hang. Although you were smart to leave and come back. So welcome back. Nice to meet you. Thank you for joining us today.
So nice to meet you, Nicole. And hello, Howie. Good to see you again, or good to hear you.
Hear me, yes. I Nicole doesn't let me do the Zoom for some reason.
Whoa. I don't let you? Howie doesn't want to do the Zoom. Howie, minute you're ready. What?
I do.
You do? Then why aren't we doing Zoom?
I don't know. I thought you didn't want me on.
Hell no. I just thought you didn't want to come on Zoom. I would love for you to come. All right. I'm going to message you the Zoom link and come on if you can, or we'll do it next time. I thought all this time, like Digby doesn't like coming on camera. And I just thought,
I do. I love it.
So all this time we've been doing this thing on the phone with your echoey cell phone. I feel so stupid now. I just thought you never wanted to.
Oh, I totally want to. Let's do it once you're moving to Arizona.
Yep.
So let's do it from Arizona. It'll be like probably better because it's closer.
Sure, it will. That works. Okay. All right. So anyway, Howie is not on the Zoom, so he can't see you. He can only hear you. But that'll change in 3 weeks when we start.
And maybe
all over
I met last week in person. A PDA was giving me an award and for the work I do as a journalist, and I decided instead of just babbling on about myself, it would be more interesting for people to hear from Maybe. So she came up and talked about herself and why she's running and what her campaign is like. So I thought that might be a good thing to start here as well for Maybe to tell us why she's running.
Okay. Why are you running?
Well, that's a loaded question. We've tried to get it down to an elevator pitch, but it's really a number of reasons. As Howie mentioned, this is my third time running. I decided to challenge Adam Schiff in 2020 and then again in 2022. And now here we are in 2024 and it's an open seat. So I came in third place out of 8 candidates in 2020. And then in 2022, I came in second place out of 9 candidates. We actually made it to the general election. It was the first time that a trans non-binary person has ever advanced to a general election for a seat in the U.S. House. And, given that we came so close, I said, I have to do this at least one more time. And, rumors were swirling that Schiff was going to be not seeking re-election to run for U.S. Senate representing California. And I knew that we needed to put our name in early, just because I knew everybody and their mom was going to be trying to run for this seat. I think the first week that he decided to, when he announced that he was running for Senate, I predicted there would be between 20 and 30 people running for his seats. The filing period just opened up today, actually, and there's already 19 people that are trying to run for a seat, myself included. And I'm the only Democrat who had the gall to run against him previously. It was difficult in many ways, especially because he's considered to be a darling of the Democratic Party. But I'm a true progressive, a leftist, and there's a lot of policies of his that I object to. You know, the big ones being his positions on war. You know, I consider him to be a warmonger. He's voted for, you know, the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, the Patriot Act. He voted to support the Saudi invasion of Yemen. And it's not surprising that every single year he receives a huge number of donations from weapons manufacturers and defense contractors. And then he turns around and votes for the National Defense Authorization Act, which loads those defense contractors' pockets with money. And it's one of those revolving door things that I think not a lot of people pay attention to. Additionally,
you know,
I oppose.
You're not running against Adam this time. And I'm more interested to hear about some of the people who are running for the seat, who you have to show the voters that you're a better choice than they are. And I know that some of them are silly, but it doesn't matter. But some of them are serious candidates. And so let's talk a little bit about some of them. If you don't feel like naming them, you don't have to. But you know, this is a very progressive district. Like I said earlier, there's no question in my mind that you're the most progressive candidate. But how do you stack up against some of the other serious candidates who are running?
Yeah, so there are, at this point, there's over a dozen Democrats in the race. There's, I think, about 15 or 16 right now. And I consider myself to be the most leftist, the most progressive. But I try to avoid using, you know, that term radical leftist, because there's nothing radical about wanting health care for everybody, housing for everybody, education for everybody. The only thing that's actually radical is the fact that we don't have those things in our nation right now. So they are radical ideas in the sense that we don't have them. But the idea of wanting to take care of everybody is not a radical idea at all. I'm the only candidate who is not taking any sort of corporate donations, totally grassroots, people power funded. And our policies are, you know, you have to, I think most people realize that when you work in politics at any level, whether it be local, state, federal, that I think there always has to be a little bit of compromise. So we always want to shoot for the stars. But for me, it has always been universal healthcare is my baseline. I would never support a candidate who does not support universal healthcare.
Let me interrupt for 1 second.
Yeah.
Are any of the other candidates saying that they also support Medicare for all?
They do, but at the same time, it's interesting to me because some of them are in higher levels of government than myself, and they really are in a position to actually fight and demand universal health care. Maybe not necessarily on a federal level at this point, but at least on a state level. I was a huge proponent of CalCare, which is the idea of getting universal health care here in California. It was previously known as AB 1400. And unfortunately, the previous legislature let the bill die in office. And to me, that was such a I can't even wrap my head around it, because we have a supermajority of Democrats in the California state legislature. And the fact that they let that bill die rather than vote on it and expose who actually is opposed to this, you know, they said they didn't have the votes. Well, how do you not have the votes when we are a supermajority of Democrats in California? So I want to know exactly which candidates were for and against that and why. The why answer is really easy. You take a look at their donors, and they're being sponsored by, you know, Blue Cross Blue Shield, mm-hmm. Aetna, you know, all of these corporations that obviously do not want to see universal health care. So while I do have some opponents who will claim to be for universal health care, I haven't actually seen them fight for universal health care.
How about housing for all? I know that housing is a very big issue for you, yeah. Both here in Silver Lake as a member of the neighborhood council, but also in your campaign. Are your opponents, where do they stand on housing for all? Do you know?
You know, it's interesting. none of them have been particularly vocal about it. That has been a staple of my campaign for Congress, and also a staple of my the way that I operate in my local position. So I serve on the Silver Lake Neighborhood Council, which is a part of the LA city government. And I say this a lot, that I would challenge you to find anybody in Los Angeles who doesn't view homelessness as being one of the largest, if not the largest, issue facing our city and our county. But the way, the difference is how we approach it. And there are many people who would rather just have people experiencing homelessness out of sight, out of mind. They don't want to see encampments in front of their mansions, but not for the fact of they actually want to, you know, have humane policies for these people. They just want them,
away
gone.
From where they live. Yeah.
Exactly. So for me, the way that the city of Los Angeles is approaching homelessness is, it's disgusting to me. They've criminalized homelessness. You know, there was a case known as Martin versus Boise, which was a case that was taken to the Ninth Circuit Appellate Court. And it determined that it is unconstitutional for cities to outlaw encampments when there are not enough shelter beds to accommodate everybody experiencing homelessness in a city. In Los Angeles, we have over 46,000 people experiencing homelessness on any given night. Wow. There are not nearly enough shelter beds to accommodate that number of people. So the city cannot outlaw encampments altogether. But what they can do is they've created this loophole where they create these special enforcement zones. And if you're in a special enforcement zone, then the city can come in and say, hey, you either have to get out or we're going to cite you and throw you in jail. And that's incredibly inhumane to me, that we are criminalizing poor people, people experiencing homelessness. And that's not the approach that I want to take. It's also particularly criminal to me that there are more vacant units in Los Angeles than there are people experiencing homelessness. That's a crime against humanity, in my opinion. So there are units already available. I think, you know, it's kind of become a homelessness industrial complex where there has been so much money poured into addressing homelessness, but we're not actually solving it. And truly, the elevator pitch way to solve homelessness is by creating permanent supportive housing and permanent supportive services, not just these temporary shelters where they come in for 30 days and then they're back on the streets in a different part of town. That's a Band-Aid solution, and it's a very costly, inhumane Band-Aid solution.
I love hearing you speak. I got to tell you, this is the first time we've met. When I saw you come in the chat room, I had only seen pictures of you from your website. And I looked up and I see somebody presenting as male. I'm like, who's that? Did I schedule somebody wrong? And then it clicked. It's like, oh, shit, that's Maybe. Is Maybe a girl your legal name?
It's not my legal name, but I go by Maybe in my everyday life. So as a trans non-binary person, you know, I don't fit neatly onto the spectrum of man or woman. I identify as trans femme, so I closer to a woman, but not, you know, exactly there. And so you can be trans binary or trans non-binary. And, you know, I just got off work, truth be told. I'm actually sitting at the restaurant that I work at. Oh, I work part time as a server. I'm a working class person. And so, you know, I am not going to wear a pound of makeup and high heels to work.
but that's so I'm looking on your website. And for instance, this it's Maybe, M-A-E-B-E, a girl for spelled out congress.org. I'll put the link on the blog. It's up on the Chyron under your picture. But here's your bio, which is very comprehensive. Obviously, as Howie just said, you're currently the treasurer and at-large representative for the Silver Lake Neighborhood Council in Los Angeles. It says upon her election in 2019, she became the first drag queen elected to public office in the United States. That's huge. When you're out in public, you're generally dressed as a girl, as a woman.
So I normally will dress up, you know, for all of my public meetings. I kind of like to describe it this way. Drag is what I do, but trans is who I am. So, you know, I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what a trans person is supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do often get mistaken as being a man because I am often male presenting. But you know what? You don't actually have to undergo any sort of medical transition to be a trans person. Many trans people do decide to take medical steps, and many don't. And it doesn't, either way, it doesn't validate or invalidate your transness, if you will. So for me, you know, I go by they, them, I go by she, her, anything but he, him. And, but yeah, you know, I'm not, I don't, you know, get dressed up for, I don't get dressed up every single day, but you know, when I go to my meetings, it's kind of like, you know, if you're going to a special event or a meeting, the way you present yourself is going to be different than when you're going to the grocery store. So, you know, I don't feel that I have to totally put everything on for me to be who I am. If that makes sense.
It makes total sense. And I'm glad I appreciate you explaining it because, you know, some of us and if my listener, look, I'm older. I was older. For some people, it's a learning experience. If you don't experience it in your life, one of my dearest friends is a trans woman. And, you know, I have been educated through her, through Boca. My listeners know her. She's been on the show many times. She's a radio person. And she's the one who did the open for this segment that Howie loves, the Chucky Schmucky Hour. She's a brilliant woman. And so, you know, but again, trans is just like people, like humans are all different. And some, you know, with some of the people I think that have a problem with it, either they're being led around by the governor down here and people who are just intolerant and don't understand that everybody's different. But it's also people who just don't know. They haven't been educated. And so yeah. I know a lot of people appreciate, you know, you're explaining how you live.
Absolutely. Because trans identity, much like every community, we're not a monolith. And so you're going to find every different kind of person on the trans spectrum, just as you will on a, you know, cisgender heteronormative spectrum. Mm-hmm. You know, people are different and individual. And so my experience, I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for anybody else who is trans.
Right.
But on the other hand, I think it's really important at this point when Congress is spending so much time and energy of trying to make laws about trans people, I think it's really, really important that we have an actual trans person as a member of Congress.
Yeah.
And at that point, you know, on some level, you will be speaking for a whole community in this country of people. There are tons and tons of trans people, but, you know, trans people don't have their own congressional district. Trans people are scattered through every single state in the country and desperately need somebody in Congress. It's desperate that they need someone in Congress now.
Desperate.
It's really, really important, which
right.
is why it's so important to for anybody who's listening to us to help maybe get elected. You know, I know not everybody lives in this district who's watching this show right now, but everybody can donate, even if it's just $5 or $10. It's really, really crucial that we get maybe elected to Congress. I mean, if you like someone like Bernie Sanders, there's a good reason to support maybe. She's, you know, as progressive as they come. But the fact that she is also a trans person is just another plus in this equation that there's nobody else who can talk to that.
Definitely. So, I got a question. And Howie, you might want to answer this one. Karina asks in the chat room, are they supported by the Victory Fund or Emily's List?
Well, it shouldn't be me answering. I don't even know the answer. But
well,
it isn't
but
something.
Right. No, but Emily's List is not. OK, so maybe are you supported by the Victory Fund or Emily's List?
So we've applied for the Victory Fund's endorsement. We're in the process right now, so we're still waiting to hear back. Emily's List has not endorsed us. We didn't apply for that particular endorsement, but we are hoping to get the Victory Fund. Obviously, we're trying to get a lot of pro-LGBTQIA endorsements. We have a forum in October for the Stonewall Democrats. And you know, we've worked closely with a lot of LGBTQ organizations. Unfortunately, a lot of them are nonprofits and actually can't endorse, such as the LGBT Center here in Los Angeles. You know, I've met with them and, you know, asked them, what do you need of your congressional representative? And Howie brought up this good point that, you know, there's never been a trans person federally elected to the United States government. We're just starting to see
at least not one that we know of.
Exactly.
Right.
It's not one that we know of. But we have just started to see trans people being elected to state legislatures, which is incredibly important. You know, when I started running in 2019, I recall myself saying to my constituency that this was the worst year in modern history for anti-LGBTQIA yeah. legislation. And you know what? I said the same thing in 2020. I said the same thing in 2021. I said the same thing in 2022. And now here we are in 2023 with over 650 anti-LGBTQIA bills moving across states and federal legislatures. And the thing about it is more than half of those are specifically targeting trans people. And yet there are very few trans people at the state level, none at the federal level. And as a good friend of mine always says, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. And trans people are very much on the menu right now. And we have no way to fight back. We're not even in these conversations saying, well, how do we help shape this legislation? We're not even a part of that conversation. We're just being dictated by the government how we can and cannot live. And, you know, these are everything from bathroom bills, sports bills, school restrictions, healthcare restrictions, civil rights restrictions, religious exemptions to discriminate against LGBTQIA people. So it's really frustrating to not have a voice in the laws that are dictating you as a trans person.
Wow. Jackie, who works with Howie at Blue America, is in the chat room, and she just posted something I want to read. She said, here's a snippet from Howie's post. I'm not finding progressives from outside the district taking maybe seriously as a candidate. Just as a transgender person, they don't quite understand. 6 weeks ago, she passed 1,000 individual donors, more than anyone else in the race. Not $2,800 donors, small donors giving $10 and $20 contributions. While the other candidates who are trying to claim the progressive lane may say the right things, maybe shows up. No one else does. When good trouble is being made, maybe's there. That's very nice.
Thanks, Holly. And you know what? I'd love to add, we actually are just at about 2,000 individual unique donors. We've had over 2,600 contributions to our campaign. We have financial supporters in all 50 states plus D.C. So we have our campaign, me as a candidate, I have national appeal. It's just about getting some of these bigger organizations, politicians who are already in power to recognize, notice our campaign and see that I'm a serious candidate. And I have to tell you that since day one, I've had to fight so much harder to be recognized as a serious candidate simply because of the fact that I perform in drag and I'm a transgender person. And that's how it is with a lot of marginalized communities. We have to work twice as hard for half the recognition. And, you know, I just hope that somebody who is higher up there like AOC or, you know, Ilhan Omar or, you know, somebody from the squad will take notice of our campaign and help to publicize it. Because I have always felt since day one that if everybody knew about our campaign, we would win this thing. But, you know, as a grassroots organizer, you know, taking no corporate funding, not that corporations would even want to fund me, you know, given the stances that I support, it just takes a lot to put the word out there. But we have done so much better this year in terms of fundraising. We're only three quarters in and we've more than doubled what we raised in the entire 2022 cycle. And we're still 6 months away from the primary. So we're putting up a fight this time.
That's great.
I will say, though, that Ted Lieu, another congressman from L.A., who was at the same event that Maybe and I were at this weekend, asked me to make sure that he can meet Maybe. Did you wind up getting to speak with him?
I did. Yeah, very briefly. We didn't really have time to chat. He had to make his rounds, but I was able to introduce myself and talk to him for a moment. But I want to follow up with him and see if there's any way that we can work together because he's on the Progressive Caucus. He's, you know, definitely one of the better folks that are already in Congress. And so it's all about making connections.
That's great.
Yeah. Another person that would be important for you to speak to is Pramila Jayapal, whose daughter is also a trans person.
Oh, wow.
And she's the chair of the Progressive Caucus.
Yeah, she's great. I've never gotten to meet her, but you definitely should because you need those alliances, and I think they could really help you. Along those lines, Spocko in the chat room is asking if I would ask you, who is funding the anti-trans legislation and also which organizations are fighting them? He asks, please be specific since I want to support them.
Absolutely. So, you know, a lot of these organizations are funding can be sometimes hard to track. You know, there's a lot of sort of dark donors, if you will. But there's a lot of organizations that are the front for a lot of this process. You know, a big one right now is Moms for Liberty, which they are behind a lot of the anti-LGBTQIA rallies surrounding LGBTQIA education in public schools. I don't know if folks listening are aware, but school districts in California, Southern California, are being attacked right now simply for complying with California state laws to adhere to LGBTQIA inclusion and education. So, for instance, Glendale, which is in my district, historically a little bit more of a conservative part of my district, but the school board that was fairly elected, they are, you know, progressive progressive in the sense that they are wanting to uphold the laws that require LGBTQIA inclusion. You know, there was a massive protest a few months ago where the Proud Boys were there, Gays Against Groomers, Moms for Liberty. And this was all because the Glendale School District was voting to recognize June as Pride Month. I mean, that's such a mild, mild thing. And it's already recognized at, you know, the city, county, state and federal level. So this idea that, you know, kids are being groomed in school is complete nonsense. You know, I was a queer kid in school and I remember feeling so ostracized and othered because there was no mentioning of queer people. I felt like such a freak. And I don't want any other kid to feel like that. I want kids to know that there are there's support out there, you know, and it should be through your teachers, your school district. And, you know, there's a lot of arguments right now. One of the big ones is school districts are some school districts. There's people who are wanting to basically notify parents within 3 days if their child comes out as transgender at school. And you have to ask yourself, why would a child feel more comfortable coming out to a teacher or a counselor than their own parents? And a lot of it has to do with homophobia and transphobia at home. Kids listen to what their parents are talking about. That's why even I was nervous to come out to my parents at first, because I had heard some language come out of their mouths before they knew that I was a queer person. Of course, they're very supportive now and, you know, regret some of the, you know, language that they used. But when you hear, you know, slurs that are related to queer and trans people, it's obviously going to make you not comfortable to come out to your parents. And I believe that it's directly related to the fact that if you look at homelessness nationwide, about 40% of unhoused youth identify as LGBTQIA. And that is vastly disproportionate to the actual number of LGBTQIA youth. And a big reason is because they are rejected by their families. So when they talk about parental rights, you know, they use their parental rights when they were voting for the school board and for these laws that are dictating, you know, LGBTQIA inclusion in schools. But if you think California is immune, you are vastly mistaken.
Yeah, no, it's really sad. And the attacks are horrible. Look, you heard me say we're moving out of Florida because what's going on here is I can't live in a state like this. You know, I feel for my friends who are LGBTQIA, and I don't know how they can stay. I honestly don't know how anyone can stay here. I appreciate those who are staying and fighting, but it's gotten really bad. Really bad.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's so important, like I said, to elect maybe. I mean, it's going to be, you know, I used a very old friend of mine a long time ago was Harvey Milk, and I was the official photographer on his campaign for county supervisor. And I recall, I'll never forget, this one time after Harvey had been elected, and, you know, and at that time there were no known gay people elected anywhere to anything. And Harvey was elected in San Francisco in the Castro district. And there was, articles about him in Time and Newsweek, which were the two big national magazines at the time. And one day I went to his office and he said, I want to show you something. And it was a giant sack of mail. And he was just pulling out letters at random and reading them. And it just broke me up. There were all these kids, you know, I remember the letters he was reading were from the Midwest. Mm. And there were these kids saying that because he was elected, they didn't feel like committing suicide anymore. They felt a sense of humanity. And it's just something that's never, ever gone away from me. I mean, I even choke up now when I talk about it.
I can hear. Wow. All right, we are coming to the end of the hour. You hear the music. Maybe it's so nice to meet you. I'm thrilled that you're running. And I'm more thrilled now that I've met you and I've heard you speak. People need to, you know, to take you seriously. So let's get the word out. I'm looking at all the people in the chat room who can help spread the word, donate if they can. But let people know you're the real deal. And that's what's necessary here. It's a long road ahead. So you're in it for the long run. Yeah,
I am. It's really been a pleasure, Nicole. And Howie is always love getting to chat with you. Thanks for this opportunity to come on and speak and get to meet some of your viewers. You know, if anyone's interested in learning more, visit our website, maybeagirlforcongress.org. You can also follow me on Instagram, Twitter. And thank you for recommending that people donate if they can. As I mentioned, we are totally grassroots, corporate free, and $5 goes a long way in our little rinky-dink campaign.
I'll make sure I put all your handles and everything up on the blog where this is posted. The show will be posted at NicoleSandler.com/9-14-23. That's the date. That's the format. They're always posted there. There's no paywall. So share, because everybody needs to hear you. I think you'd make a welcome addition to Congress. We need people like you there.
Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you. Howie, any final words?
I guess no, except I'll see you in what, a month?
In about 3 weeks to a month. And when I come back, when we get together next time, you will be on camera.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, me too. Come on. Okay. Thank you. You too. And I'll see you soon, I hope. Take care. And
bye.
You guys,
bye.
Tomorrow, tomorrow's Friday. We're just going to wrap this thing up. Take phone calls, take care of any business. I know the last couple of days, I've been so preoccupied with this move that, and trying to get shows together to play while I'm on the road and all that. So, tomorrow we'll see what happens. All right. We'll play it by ear. And yeah, that's it. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hasta mañana, baby. And yeah, be good. Bye.